When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming up on TMS, nips for tips.
Wedge, the basic bitch of salads.
One sex worker, two sex workers, red sex worker, blue sex worker.
The squeaky bean was my wrestling name in high school.
Flicking that nut.
We all live in a drone submarine.
Mansplaining shadows.
Dark Phoenix, the broccoli people.
Watching the stupid icon running away.
We interrupt today's story for a mess.
Super liberable.
Don't set the magnet to impale your brain mode.
I'm kind of a big deal on RELP.
Joystick Generation with Bill.
Overwhelmed with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
To John, his first pot party looks exciting. Everyone seems to be having fun. Now's the time to introduce the joints.
So, how do you like my swimming?
The Morning Stream. It's what's in the yogurt.
Good morning, all, and welcome to TMS. It's the morning stream for Tuesday, July 19th, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett in the bright shirt. Hello, Brian.
Woo! This shirt is so loud, I'm going to have to turn my gain up.
It literally so might be making...
be able to hear me.
This side of my face might be a little brighter.
Sunburned?
Yeah. Because I'm looking at you over here. It's opposite of what the chat sees when I'm over here, even though Brian's over here. Anyway.
I imagine if I were to... And I might... go drive for Lyft this afternoon, but I imagine that everybody's first comment, God, it'd almost be worth recording it. Everybody's first comment when they get in the car, like, wow, I like that shirt, or holy cow, that's a loud shirt, or something like that.
Hey, what are the, actually, that's a really good question. What are the rules for either Lyft or Uber when it comes to car, inside car cameras? Do they have a thing with that?
They don't. I mean, I think if you've got a dash cam that clearly has a camera facing back as well, I don't think that's an issue.
Okay.
You know, I don't think you need to say, hey, I've got a dash cam that's going to be recording you. So,
you don't have to, they don't have to sign a waiver or something weird like that.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So that's interesting. I don't know what I would have thought there. If you'd have said, Scott, your life depends on your answer. Do they have a rule that says you can't have a thing filming inside the car? I would have probably said, yeah, because it just seems like something a driver or a passenger would be weird with.
It really depends on what you use it for, because I wouldn't necessarily be able to record video of the passengers and then just put that up on YouTube and say, look at this dumb guy. Oh, look at this guy. Look at this guy.
I mean, can't you? Maybe you could. I don't know. That's my whole thing, is maybe you could do that. Maybe from a moral standpoint, you wouldn't, but legally,
from
can
a legal
you do
that? Standpoint, you
yeah.
think?
Because yeah,
I think
know.
It's just like a safety thing. Like, all right, you've got the camera for your safety. Yeah. So it's like, oh, look, here, now you can see the guy pulling the knife out before he jams it in my neck. Mm-hmm. But see insurance company, officer?
Yeah, it feels like it didn't help that much because you would have had to looked at the video later, right? You wouldn't have seen it when it happened.
Oh, and somebody points out, blurring faces. Navarine says they usually blur faces, though. I don't know. That's really...
I just know what the legality is.
Another person's image or recording without their express prior consent is prohibited and may result in your account being disabled. That's a YouTube thing, though, right? Not a...
Is that from the
that's not
rule?
A Lyft
is
thing.
That a Lyft rule? Yeah, that's what I'm curious about. Or is that a YouTube rule? Because people film each other all the time in public and nobody has to sign anything or blur their faces out. It happens all the time.
Technically, here we go. Drivers are permitted to record rides for security documentation, but may not broadcast or publish the footage. Broadcasting a person's image. Oh, and that is actually what Pops and Recline copied and pasted was the Uber and Lyft rule about that.
That makes sense. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I figured they had something in there. But having the camera for, like, just exactly what you said. They there for security or otherwise, but not for publishing. That's the thing you agree to, I guess. Yeah. It's probably part of some gigantic EULA agreement that you agreed to forever ago. That
probably
that you didn't
one
read
of those
through
long because, pages of like, yeah. Let me start picking up random strangers and putting them in my car and driving them to Lens Crafters.
Yeah, accept. Okay, I started saying obsessed by the end. That was bad. Anyway, that's interesting. Welcome to the show, everybody. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of stuff going on. I just want to thank everybody for the nice birthday wishes over the weekend. Had my birthday on Sunday.
Yeah.
And went out of town with Kim. We went to, we were kind of quiet about it because, I don't know, I just don't like telling everybody I'm leaving town. But went out of town to a place called Midway. Been there before, talked about it on the show before. We just love this area. It's like a east of Park City near Heber. It's this beautiful, beautiful valley with just like amazing stuff in it, including these like ancient volcanic holes full of spring water everywhere. It's just kind of weird looking because it feels like another planet. Plus, everything's Swiss themed because the place was founded by a bunch of Swiss immigrants.
Nice.
And so everything is Durka Durka with a lot of like... It's hard to explain, just like a lot of
that gingerbread style housing, like the
and they're all making cheese and stuff. It's like it's just one of those things.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
kind of like
is
that,
awesome.
The city that they went to in Sideways, and I keep saying it's Solvang, but they did go to Solvang. There's another city by there that is like that is the split pea soup capital of the world.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's great. That's the kind of like this place is like it's all about cheese curds and weird cheeses and then all the hotels are themed like these Bavarian castles and it's really weird, but we love it there. It's super peaceful and nice, except we had a weird monsoon kind of a storm thing come in just like out of nowhere. Totally effed up our barbecue plans. We were trying to make steaks and had all these plans and it kept blowing out the pilot light and the barbecue thing. And so we ended up having to go into town. Long story. Ate at this cheesy bar let's put it this way. You know, some bars, it was rated really high on Yelp. Yeah. But I think sometimes that stuff is because you're drunk while you're rating it. Because the food was really basic. Salsa and just as a starter, I got salsa and chips, and they brought out these chips, and they were just round Tostitos.
Basically, the Tostitos right out of the bag,
out of the bag, and stale. I should say. They also they had their very own homemade salsa, but it was so onion heavy that it gave me heartburn all night. So that was cool. They had hot wings, but they were just the kind of thing you'd get at like a Walmart. What else? Oh, these wedge salads. I was thinking, hey, a wedge salad sounds good. Mm-hmm. It was the most like bottled dressing, wilty. It was bad. It was bad.
Those take some work to make unique because it is basic. It is the basic bitch of salads, right? I mean, the wedge salad is I'm cutting an iceberg head of lettuce in quarters. I'm putting it on there and then dumping ranch and then hopefully like a
blue cheese
blue cheese crumbles, balsamic vinaigrette, some bacon. Mm-hmm. You know who I hate to say it, you know who makes it perfectly is Outback Steakhouse. They make the best wedge salad.
They do. Although none of y'all have had my wife's and it is killer because she puts
this
chili paste thing on there. It's gonna sound weird. But she puts like just enough of it on top. I don't even know what it's called. You know the little bottle? It's like covered in Chinese writing. It's a jar. It's kind of a dark red. I don't know the name. People will know this because you see it everywhere. Anyway, you put a little bit of that on there. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
Really?
Turns the
thing.
And
she just puts it loose on the salad. Doesn't like mix it in with the dressing or anything like that.
You just put it in there and you kind of mix it yourself just by eating it. But
it
just adds this little.
Matuba says a chili crisp. Is it the one that's got like the crispy, like the grilled, almost charred chilies in there?
Yeah. Probably like not. How you see how they're like little dark flecks. It's definitely that. But it's not. Everyone's saying sriracha in the chat. It's not sriracha. It's not that.
Not sriracha.
No. Sure, although that might sriracha. Work, but it's like a chili. I don't even know what. I'll figure it out because it's worth sharing. It's so so good, and it turns that thing into like a fancy, I can't believe this is just here in my house kind of salad. It's so good.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
They did not do that at this bar. At Melvin's. Melvin's Public House, it's called. And
Melvin's!
Yeah. And I will give them credit for having a really amazing service. The girl was so great. She was so awesome, and we tipped her well, and she was really, really nice. And they had all kinds of cool sports stuff. The ambiance is great. Like, none of that's a problem. The food, though, I think they count on you being a little drunk when you eat it. So. Mm-hmm. And we were not.
That's a bummer.
That's all right. But it went really well. And I will say this. Bars and coffee shops, you know, this whole thing we were talking about before, how the whole service industry seems to be in a bit of a funk.
Yeah.
And they're short-staffed and all that. Anywhere we went that was like a restaurant-y kind of place, including this, you know, Red Rock, which is normally super rock-solid, reliable in Park City, because we spent part of the day in Park City. The Red Rock there... food's great, all that stuff's fine, but they were just so short-staffed, like you could tell. There just weren't enough people there. So it was just stressful, and everybody's running around and getting orders wrong and all that stuff. Every restaurant we went to seems like it was like that. Every bar and coffee shop, not at all like that. Like, the bars and coffee shops, I think, are either paying their people better, or they're just not having the shortage, or that's the preferable job. I don't know.
Interesting. I wonder what it is about coffee shops that are able to keep and pay their people enough to not lose them, you know?
Probably the pay. I mean, when you're charging $7-$8 a latte, you're probably making bank if you've got regular traffic. So
maybe that's it. Maybe it's the how many employees do we need to turn out a product that makes profit? Whereas with a restaurant, you need obviously kitchen staff, you need servers, you need bussers, you need a host in the
and you need more management. Like, you can't just let the minions run the place, but at a coffee shop you could have six 20 somethings running your little hipster coffee shop. Who cares? They're all doing the same job. It's all good. So yeah, there must be something to it, but I definitely felt that all weekend. It was really odd, really odd thing. So I don't know what it means. Here's what it probably means. I think here's Scott's grand prediction for today. Okay, everyone write this down and hold me to it. I think we're heading toward, I mean, this is probably obvious overall, we're heading toward an economic recession of some sort. I know that's happening. However, I think specifically in the food service industry, we are heading toward a recession of its own. And by recession, I just mean a shrinking of it. We've got way too many restaurants. Way too many places to go, way too much choice, and there's going to be a retraction as prices go up, and as it's impossible to hire employees and pay them a living wage, you're going to see places start to close down, and we're going to reset a little bit.
And those employees are going to move to other places, and then those places finally are going to have enough staff to be able to support.
Yeah,
I just hope... Well, that's right, I did joke about this a couple weeks ago, saying this is going to be the great fast food wars where Taco Bell finally reigns supreme.
Yeah.
But... I guess the only way to ensure that the restaurants you like are the ones that survive this are to keep supporting them during all this, right?
I guess so.
It's like,
Well, part of it is if they're kicking butt, like this place near us called The Break, it's small in that it's singly, it's one place, it's owned locally, it's not a franchise.
Yeah.
And they pay all their people well, and it's packed wall to wall. And the people that do work there seem to love it there. Like, they all just rave about being there. They love working there. They're super happy all the time. Those places will thrive. I'm not worried about those. Yeah. But I am worried about franchisees and, I don't know, places that don't have the right attitude or don't value their employees. Like, there's just going to be a pulling back, a culling of the herd, if you will. And then it'll... And I'm not saying this is good. It's going to suck. I'm just saying I think it's coming. That's all I'm saying. We'll see. Hey, Brian, while I was out having fun, I guess you did a little bit of lifting. How'd that go?
I did a little bit of lifting. And let me just say, I wasn't planning on talking about this one, but yesterday, so like, no TMS? I've got a bonus this week. If I can get 66 rides in, I get several hundred dollar bonus. Like, all right, I'm gonna go for that. And since we don't have TMS on Monday, God, what a great day for me to just go bam bam bam, get a bunch of short rides and get this in. I start my day by going to Boulder, which is usually like all of the college kids who live there over the summer needing rides to the squeaky bean and the King please, Supers or
please
whatever.
Please tell me there's a, is there really a Squeaky Bean?
Yeah, there's a, there was a restaurant here in Colorado called the Squeaky Bean.
I love that name. That's an incredible name.
It does sound like something you'd find on Urban Dictionary, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, there's. Yeah. I'm sure there are alternate definitions of the Squeaky Bean. I love that name, though. It's great.
So I drive up to Boulder, and on the way up, I turn on the Start Finding Me rides, and immediately I get, all right, person in Boulder. 5 minutes away, go pick them up, take them for a thing. And I think it, you know, I didn't see any modifiers that say airport drop off or 45 plus minute ride or anything like that. So great. Head up there.
It's good. You don't want to end up like last week where you were 400 billion miles away from everything.
Right. Yeah. So as I'm heading there, it goes ba-dunk, which means that they've changed out that ride. Or no, I guess it's boo-doo-doo-ding. You know, it's a little noise that means, oh, we've changed out that ride. And it says higher paying ride now available, rerouting you to new passenger. I'm like, oh, all right, cool, fine, whatever. I see the person has a bag. As I pull up, I see that they've got a suitcase. I'm like, oh, all right, well, it's an airport run. There goes, you know, 40 minutes, and now I've got to find my way back from the airport.
Sure.
So I pull up. I hop out to open the back door for them, and I say, hey, looks like you're going to the airport. He says, nope, Colorado Springs. And I don't know what my face must have looked like, but it was probably something like, what?
Wait, can they do that? I thought they couldn't do that. Like you got tricked. You got duped, kind of. Right?
I mean, I don't have any sort of restrictions saying, nope, only or give me a chance to turn off automatic rides or anything like that. So it was my own fault.
Sure.
So for people who don't live in Colorado, Boulder is half an hour north of me. Colorado Springs is about an hour and 15 minutes south of me. Mm. So this was a 2-hour, 100-mile ride.
Oh, my Lord.
Further than the one I took last week where I was like, at least I didn't have somebody with their moldy, mildewy clothes, wet clothes in a bag in the car. This guy was really nice. We talked, he was French, talked the whole time about all the different places he's lived, Switzerland and Miami, Florida, and then Colorado and London for 8 years. And
does he have a cool accent? Like a,
he did have a very cool, it was a Patrick accent. And wow, he at one point did say really, really.
Did he?
And I was like, oh, wow, listen to that. He says really, really.
That's good. I really brought it back home for you. That's awesome.
But then I thought, oh, my God. All right, great. Now I'm stuck 100 miles away in Colorado Springs. And fortunately, I did get a ride back up to Denver. I just basically set destination mode. Also, and I probably won't go too far into this, I either drove 2, 1, or 0 prostitutes yesterday.
Wait a minute. I need to know more.
Both situations were a little like, and I base this, you know, purely on what they were wearing and how they were brought to my car by the person whose name was on the Lyft order. Like in both cases, the person who brought them to the car was the person whose name was on the Lyft account, had the little photo of them.
Do they have a cane and a huge fur coat and a hat?
No. I think they were the Johns. I think those were the...
They were previous clients. I see.
They were the clients. Yeah, just wrapping up their time. One of them was in a trailer park next to a house, and the, you know, just what she was wearing and the whole situation and the apartment that I was taking her to. I don't know. I could easily be reading way more into it than, and that's why I say a 2, 1, or 0.
Yeah. Brian won't get in any trouble at all for saying that how they looked. It'll be fine. No one will send emails.
Not how they looked from a, from a facial features kind of perspective, but how they looked from what they were wearing was like, oh, this kind of looks like what I see prostitutes wearing in Hollywood films with the like shiny pink hot pants and the belly shirt and that sort of thing at 7 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Anyway, previous night's work being done.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? It's not like they're going to tell you.
Right, exactly. I mean, you know, maybe they will. It's like, so am I driving you to work?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nope, you're driving me home from work. Okay.
Oh, boy. So,
anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's neither here nor there. That's like in the show notes, I actually have two different stories I want to really quickly tell. And here's the first one comes with a be nice to your Lyft driver request.
Okay, fair enough.
When you place your order, when you punch up the app and say, I would like a ride, and a ride is accepted, stay the F there. Mm. I got a pickup over the weekend at the Rockies at Coors Field. The Rockies game ended, and there was a ton of traffic. It was bumper to bumper. And if the person would have stayed where they ordered the ride, they could have actually walked down the street that was bumper to bumper and gotten in my car and we would have been on the way.
Sure.
But no, this guy drunk and three people, all three of them drunk, they decided they were going to start walking the opposite direction around the ballpark.
Okay.
Which is all bumper to bumper traffic, every direction.
Okay.
And I'm texting and saying, hey, come back to where you were when you ordered the ride. No response. I call, hey, I'm Brian. I'm your Lyft driver. Can you do me a favor? Turn around and actually walk back to where you were when you picked up the Lyft drive. And if you walk a little bit further than that, you'll actually see my car. You can get in. We can go. Oh, okay, dude. Yeah, no problem. Which side of the ballpark are you on? Oh, I'm on the northwest side. Just come around to the northwest side.
Yeah.
And I watch his little stupid icon go. Like I'm one of the ghosts and he's Pac-Man and I'm just chasing him around the maze.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
How annoying.
I'll show you. I could actually send you. I decided because I wasn't doing anything. I could pretty much take a picture while I was sitting in traffic. So I think what I'm sending you is where I am. I'm the arrow.
You and your arrow, like that song. You and your arrow, right?
I'm the arrow, exactly. Yeah. Me and my arrow.
Yeah.
Straighter than arrow. the pushpin is where he requested the ride, and then the little dude down in the bottom right corner is where he was continuing to walk, and he continued past that.
Let's see.
Anyway, just frustrating. So stay put.
Yeah, please. Stay put. Oh, yeah, look at that. You guys were in a permanent little loop there, and if he didn't, one of you's got to stop.
Exactly.
You're yes. Never going to meet
him. I don't
anywhere.
See him walking towards me, so I've got to hit him.
That's great.
Also, picked up a couple guys from a they were at some sort of tennis match or something. They were just watching a game. I don't know what game they were watching, but Australian. And I happen to be wearing that Australian Hawaiian shirt that I've worn on the show several times. They've got kangaroos and echidnas and cassowaries and stuff like
sure.
that on it.
It's very Australian.
Koala. And they're chatting, and then all of a sudden, one of them goes, "Hey,
oh, shit.
I like that shirt, mate. What did you just pour?
I
all
just
over
dumped
yourself?
Everything everywhere. Hold on, sorry, right. I've interrupted Brian's story for a mess. All right, so we're back. Scott's cleaning his mess. Brian right. was in the middle of a story. Okay, go ahead.
Right. All right. So I'm wearing my Australian Hawaiian shirt, which, like I said, has kangaroo, has koala bears. What's the dog? The Australian dog?
Dingo. A dingo.
Dingo. Thank you. All right, dingo. The guy takes a in the middle of his story, stops talking and says, "Hi, mate. Is that a Hawaiian shirt with Australian animals on it?" I go, "Yeah, man, sure is." I joke. I said, "I knew you guys were going to be in the car, so I wore this specifically for you."
Yeah.
And he says, "Mate, I'll give you $100 for that shirt right
what?
Now."
Did you do it?
And my first thought is, "Oh my God, do I? You know, do I just?" Sell it to him and then end my day driving.
Is that what happened? You'd have to wear his shirt to get out of there?
No, I don't think so. I think he would just take my shirt and
wow.
So I'm like, oh man, no, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate that. I think because this was one of Tina's Australian friends that sent me this shirt. So I was like, oh, I can't do it. And I'm glad I didn't. I found out later that it's their Australia Day shirt and they only make it And once they're sold out, they only make it for that year's Australia Day. And then once they make it, they're done with that design. So it's gone. But I'm more I think about it,
$100 is not probably not even that good of a deal, is what you're saying. Right?
$100 is, I think, a pretty good deal. Yeah. And so my initial no, thanks, man, I appreciate it, but I probably get in trouble. He's like, all right, but if you change your mind, and then he pulls out his phone, and he goes, hey. Remind me in 1 hour to look up Australian Hawaiian shirts on Amazon. He's gonna buy one. So I'm thinking, you know, if he pushes it again, if he offers the deal again, I'm gonna take it. Because yeah, I'm losing a shirt, but I'm getting $100 and a story for TMS.
Oh yeah, no, this is all content. Are you kidding?
Such great content. Then I won you. So as he's getting out of the car, he says, all right, last chance, $100 for that shirt. I'm like, well, okay. He's like, no, I'm just kidding, mate. See you. Have a good day.
He was kidding the whole time. Jackass. Jackass.
That's what happens when you wait too long. You know,
you would have had to ride home totally shirtless, right?
I would have ridden home totally shirtless, which isn't it's not against the law. I would have had my, don't need to be hanging out in my car.
I'm trying to think what would I have done. I mean, if he just said yes, what would I have done? I think I would have probably done it. Just drive home.
Yeah, I would have driven home $100 $100 richer and with a great story. I think I still ended up with a good story, but
yeah, almost. It's almost better from a like. How do I put this? The fact that he was never serious is both irritating and great. You know what I mean?
I think if I would have said yes right away, he would have been, I think he thought about it more and was like, turned it into a joke. I think if I would have said yes the first time he did it, I would have gotten $100 and I would have taken my shirt off, driven them the rest of the way, and then he would have realized what a dumb idea it was. Because also, I don't know, I didn't get a good look at him, but I think this shirt would have, my shirt would have been, a little snug on him, more snug than it is on me.
Yeah. Well, I love that story. That's freaking great. But at the same time, look, you came home with both things, a good story. The only thing you didn't come home with is the extra $100.
Was the $100. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know what? Worth it. I got the story out of it and I get to keep the shirt. And like I said, Tina says that, our friend Vicky would have been really pissed if I would have sold that shirt for $100, story or not.
I'll bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt. All right. Can you confirm something for me? I want to know if this is the sound that Lyft makes when you get a drive thing. Hold on.
Okay. All right.
Let's see. Oh, why is there no volume?
I don't know.
You know, YouTube, if you're going to do your TikTok ripoffs, if you're going to make these shorts, it's fine. But there's some sound. That's not it, though. Nope. Okay, well, freaking F it. I hate these. If you're going to have them, fine. Make them work so I can use them. All right.
It's doodle-doodle-ding. That's what it sounds like.
There you go. All right. Well, let's do some news. We got news.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of this right here, so let's do that.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. In the news this morning, good morning.
It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by.
I'm looking at my feed, Scott. Did Play Retro get moved a bit this week? What's the deal?
Well, only this week. Tomorrow, we'll be having the show because today I'm on DTNS. We've swapped days.
What?
Because crazy. Today, formerly of Tested fame and a bunch of other stuff, Will Smith, not the actor, but the as white as me guy, one of my favorite tech voices in the world, is going to be on today. And I said, well, hey, I want to be on when Will Smith's on. They said, well, that's cool. We'll totally make that happen. So I'm on DTNS today. And then tomorrow we're doing Play Retro. It's just we're swapping days. That's all. Real simple.
Yeah.
No okay. big deal.
All right. All right.
So if you're into Play Retro and you want to hear all about Legacy of Kain, which is our next big thing we're talking about, Then be here tomorrow for that. All right. 3:30, same time as usual, just a different day this week only. Next week it's back to Tuesdays and everything's normal. Play Retro. All you have to do is find that wherever you get your podcasts. All right. Check this out. Cool. We're going to start with a Colorado Springs man, which is perfect since you were just driving around up there.
Yeah, since I just was in the conservative, prostitute-filled town of Colorado Springs.
That's right. Oh, I always forget. So Boulder's the super liberal
one. Boulder's super liberal.
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 Well, wait, where does Boebert hail from? Is she anywhere near
Boebert
Colorado Springs?
Is, no, further west by, like, appropriately Rifle and Parachute, Colorado, by Grand Junction.
She lives near somewhere called
Rifle. El Paso County, or even further? Might even be. Oh, no, El Paso County is southeast. Yeah, it's.
Speaking of which, and nobody, look, it's, you know, no shame here, except that she's a hypocrite, but she used to be do a little prostitutiness back in the day.
Oh, did she really?
Yeah, there was some talk that she was like a professional escort for a couple of years.
Oh, wow.
And, and that also she's had a couple of abortions. Again, totally her right, and so she shouldn't be such a hypocrite about it and try to take it from others.
Wait, she got to choose whether or not she had those?
Weird, right? Weird. Weird.
Yeah.
Whatever. Boebert. Freaking Boebert. Let's get to the story. Colorado Springs man hopes to buy a shirt. Oh, this is weird. Just kidding. I didn't.
Nice. That would have
been great.
Colorado
Springs man hopes to be fourth person to push a peanut up Pike's Peak with his nose.
Well, it's really striving to be the fourth person.
Yeah. I mean, you know, who wants to be first when you can be fourth?
It's a poorly worded headline, right? Hopes to be the fourth person to push a peanut up Pike's Peak with his nose, instead of like hopes to join the ranks of people who've pushed a peanut up Pike's Peak.
Yeah, I feel like the writer of this article is actually kind of throwing a little shade on the guy.
I think so.
Because why would you do this? But here's what he has to do: lying on his stomach in the red dirt at the base of the Bar Trail and Manitou Springs, Manitou. There you go.
Number two.
Bob Salem wears a device affixed to his face that looks like both a homemade gas mask and the trunk of a very skinny elephant. A peanut in its shell rests on the ground in front of him. So now we've painted you a visual photo here, visual picture. Yes. It says, basically, I'm going to sit here and low crawl all the way here, or all the way up here, and flick the peanut up the mountain, he says, laser focused on the task at hand. The homemade contraption on his face is actually a mask from the CPAP sleep machine with a black plastic serving spoon duct taped to it. With its help, Salem hopes to be the fourth person to successfully climb Pike's Peak on his hands and knees while pushing a peanut with his nose.
Yeah, I wanted everybody to see what this guy looked like, so I'm going to put a photo in the chat.
Why is he they say he's pushing it with his nose, but he's pushing it with his contraption.
Well, it's... Right, that's a good point, right? It's a contraption that's attached to his nose.
Yeah. So look at that, chat. Like, there's a
big
Scooby.
But it's not technically with his nose.
I guess his nose is where the spoon bit starts and goes down. We'll allow it, I guess. Whatever. This guy.
Technically, it's an extension of his nose. Yeah.
He looks like he might smell bad. I'm just going to put that out there. Anyway.
So, yeah, I put a photo in our Discord of his, with the whole contraption on and...
Yeah, the article here has him. He seems pretty excited.
You have not looked at my photo.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Where's your photo?
Never mind.
Oh, there you go. I like it.
Yeah.
Remember that thing?
The Mos Eisley spy. Yes,
I love that voice. Hold on. Here, chat. There's the guy. This would be much cooler, by the way, if this was him.
That would be way cooler, yeah. Although it'd be really hot in the temperature that we've had.
Yeah, I'd prefer that. Anyway... He says, from what I can tell, I should be able to get up in about a mile or get to about a mile an hour as he moves the peanut. The peanut rolls backward down the trail, so he lost some ground, but he shimmies toward it and starts over, noting that the entire 12.6-mile journey has 3 miles of steps. He thinks that will be the most difficult part. I don't know. I think the most difficult part is how somehow you have the time to freaking do this. I think that's difficult.
Like 12 hours. If he's going a mile an hour and it's 12 miles up, 12.6 miles, it just feels like, I don't know. If you can't be the first, why do it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's the point?
It's not like the Guinness Book of World Records says, by the way, the fourth strongest man in the world is
no,
Bill
there's
Johnson.
Not. Name a contest where fourth matters. There isn't one. There's nothing after bronze. You're done.
Exactly.
At the third
right.
place.
You're not even on the podium. You're like standing off to the side going, oh, man.
Yeah, you're lamenting your loss at fourth.
Yeah.
So now that you know that the work's already done by three others, go home, dude.
Right.
Don't be doing this.
Wouldn't even want to be the second person. It's like, oh, somebody's already done that? Well, shoot. Okay.
It'd be funny if his grandpa's at home wheezing to death at night because his grandson took his CPAP.
His CPAP. Yeah.
And grandma can't stir her soup because he took her spoon. Yeah. This guy, who knows what he's
I feel like he also could have done a lot better. Like, he's only flicking it a few feet. I feel like you could get it up in that spoon and then go, shoom, and like really huck it up there.
Yeah,
then
especially
stand
this,
up, yeah. walk to where it is. You're basically playing peanut golf up a mountain is what
you're doing. Yeah, because the job is not to get yourself up there as much as it is the peanut. The peanut is the key crucial object. So when he gets to these steps, for example, like shown in the article, do like Brian says, heave it up there.
Right.
It doesn't matter how sloppy it is. Get up, walk up, do it again.
Yeah.
Or don't, because you're fourth. This is so dumb. BioCow in the chat says, well, what about when like radio, they say, we'll take out the fourth caller. Totally different. You could say that about any number. You say, we'll take the 18th caller. We'll take the sixth caller. Exactly. You know, it doesn't matter. But this guy, I think he needs a better hobby. That's all I'm saying.
I think, do you think you could get more attention if you just didn't use a peanut, used like a, I don't know, like a carrot or a... I'm just trying to think of something random. Something that wouldn't roll. You wouldn't want to do a golf ball because then you've got some, like, then it's one bad roll and it's down the mountain. And
good point.
Three-fourths of the way up.
Yeah, with a peanut, I assume you've got at least a 50% chance of roll because if it's, you know, if it's turned this way, it may not. But if it's this way,
it's silicon implant.
There you go.
Like a silicon implant up Pike's Peak.
Bingo. That would work. Yeah. Or just anything, like a little block, you know?
Yeah.
You know what? A 20-sided die. How about that?
Too rolly. Yeah, that thing, again, hits the edge of one of those stairs, and it'll roll back down and critical fail.
What about do we have anything square we can think of? Like a, six-sided
cube,
die.
Six-sided die. Yeah. Fuzzy dice.
I like
one
that.
One fuzzy die.
Okay. Yeah. I'm in. whatever. Wish him the best. Hope it goes okay.
Yeah.
Here's a story about erecting things.
Sure. Hey.
Albuquerque is erecting statues of Walter White and Jesse Pinkman. Not the actors, but the characters they played.
In a movie, gotcha. Okay. Oh, so please tell me it'll be pantsless Walter White.
I mean, that's what I want, but I don't think that's what they're doing. It says here, in a move to reveal what is likely the first ever municipal statues honoring the meth manufacturers, the city of Albuquerque is unveiling statues dedicated to Breaking Bad characters Walter White and Jesse Pinkman. According to the press release, the statues originally commissioned from sculptor Trevor Grove in 2019 by series creator Vince Gilligan, who is donating the statues to the city along with Sony Pictures Television. They're also part of this. Quote, over the course of 15 years, two TV shows and one movie, Albuquerque has been wonderful to us. I wanted to return the favor and give something back, says Gilligan.
Oh, Gilligan.
They're larger than life bronze statues of Walter White and Jesse Pinkman. These exist thanks to the generosity of Sony Pictures Television and the artistry of sculptor Trevor Grove, and I love them. It makes me happy to picture them gracing the Duke City for decades to come, attracting busloads of tourists. I would go see these. This would be cool.
Oh, for sure. I don't know. It's amazing that if those statues already exist, why there are no pictures online of what those statues look like.
That's a really good question, including this article. There's no shots.
I would
of
think
it.
That, all right, cool. There's, you know, there's a photo. It's not in its place yet, but here's a photo of what it's going to look like. But
yeah, I guess that. So there is some notes here toward the end of the article about it being... they're doing it indoors.
Interesting. Okay.
Because something Cranston and Paul said, they said, we also appreciate the statues will be indoors and therefore protected from pigeons depositing their critiques on our heads. That's pretty great. Anyway, you know, that's cool. Whatever. I'd see, you know what? If I was going to Albuquerque, I'd look that up. And you were down there. You got some blue meth and pizza roof and all that.
I did. I totally did. Somewhere is all that blue meth. I might have tossed it. But yeah, you got to take a little a desk clerk bell with you when you go see it and go bing, ding, 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 ding,
and just slobber and like make a face and then shit yourself in the police station. Oh, man. That guy. Freaking. What's his name? Not Tuco.
Salamanca.
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 What a character. That guy.
Yes.
I guess we get him a whole bunch more of him this season in Saul, which I've not started yet.
You do? Oh, you haven't watched it yet. Last night's episode was so good.
I hear it was a very Wexler episode yesterday.
It was, yes.
I love her. If she wins that Emmy, I would be very happy. That would be great.
Yeah, she deserves it. Rhea Seehorn deserves every bit of that Oscar.
I agree. All 8 inches.
Don't worry, I'm not saying a single word. I'm not saying anything spoilery about that episode whatsoever.
I'm not, and I have no idea, so I can't spoil it.
Yeah.
I have no idea. All right, let's move on to this here story about genetically engineered pig hearts are being transplanted into dead people.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
For why?
Well, here's the deal.
For why?
I want to say that more often when someone says, Scott, take out the trash. For why?
For why?
Oh, I'm going to drive Kim crazy with that. I'm excited. All right, genetically engineered pig hearts. Let's go here. Researchers successfully transplanted genetically modified pig hearts into two recently deceased people connected to ventilators. The New York University team announced it was a few days ago now. The surgeries were the latest step forward in the field of animal-to-human transplants, or xenotransplantation. Ooh, that's a scary term, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Xeno.
Xeno.
If you're xenophobic, you may not want this pig heart. Anyway.
Much better than xena transplantation.
Oh, yeah. No, well, I don't know. She seems pretty great,
genetic
though.
Pig heart.
I'd take her heart. Oh, yeah. If you don't want to give her that, but I'll take her heart. Yeah. She's got a strong heart.
Sure.
I don't want Hercules' heart because he's a pud. That guy. Anyway, flurries of successes so far this year, raising hopes for a new steady supply of organs to ease shortages, which they're having a problem with right now. The only thing different about these heart transplants from normal human to human transplants is the organ itself. The research team said in a statement, quote, our goal is to integrate the practices used in a typical everyday heart transplant only with non-human organs that will function normally without additional aid from untested devices or medicines, says Nader Mozami.
Ooh.
I am Nader. Who are you? I am Nader Mozami.
Nader Mozami.
It's a great name. Yes. Director of Heart Transplantation at the NYU Langone Transplant Institute.
Aww.
That's an unfortunate faux pas there.
Yeah.
Anyway, the idea is, though, even though they were dead, their bodies are still functioning because they're on life support, basically. They're on, ventilation and all that.
Okay, all right.
So they're technically...
So brain dead, but...
not with us, but functioning because you're keeping them alive.
Right, exactly. That makes sense then, that they're able to experiment and...
And see what the other systems of the body do and what rejects what and all that. So it's actually a really big deal. So I guess the pig hearts came from biotechnology company Revivicor probably produces genetically modified pigs and also funded the research. The pigs had 10 genetic modifications, 4 to block pig genes and prevent rejection, and 6 to add human genes. So basically they're trying to make them more compatible. And take a pig heart if I was gonna die. Bring it in, let's do it
for sure. Yeah,
my heart stops working, pig heart, no problem, zero issue. And if I start craving, like, what do pigs like, mud, fine, whatever,
right,
I'll go lay in some mud. Final story.
It'd be some pig. Have a spider riding that up above your head.
There you go. Jennifer Lopez, Ben Affleck got married again. And here's how
did they ever get married the first time, or was it just that they dated for a really long time?
You know what? That's a really good question. I guess they weren't actually married before.
I don't think they got married before.
I think you're right. I think that is correct. So they did it through your favorite method, Brian, a Las Vegas drive-thru.
Now, if it's with an Elvis, on the way through, then that's great. That's even better.
Oh, like, yeah.
Elvis has to be in the window.
Yeah.
He's only been married to Jennifer Lopez. So only been married to Jennifer Garner and now Jennifer Lopez.
So all the Jennifers is where he's at.
All the Jennifers. Yep.
Yeah. All the Jennifers. All the Jennifers.
Look out, Jennifer Walters. Oh.
Oh. That's a shame. What about Jennifer Aniston? They never went out.
Jennifer Aniston, Jennifer Beals.
Jennifer Beals. Jennifer.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer
would
Lawrence.
Be a good choice.
Jennifer. How about Yennefer from.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oh, yeah. Jennifer Love Hewitt. She's a horse talker or horse whisperer or whatever it is.
So many Jennifers. Holy cow. I'm sensing a Tadpooley feud question in the future.
Oh, man. Well, anyway, they went through one of those things. It was on Saturday, and now they're married. So, well done, nice. You two.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for that. I think that couple's really going to make it.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure this time I'll stick. I have no doubt. Yes. I'm sorry. I have all the doubt. All right.
Is she now going to be J-Laugh instead of J-Lo?
She's J-Laugh. Well, that's how we refer to the coupling, right, is J-Laugh, I think. Or Benlo. Is it Benlo?
I mean, it's been Bennifer.
Oh, Bennifer. Yeah.
Yeah,
I hate that, though. Yeah. I like Benlo. Do Benlo.
Benlo.
Or no, wait.
Benlo.
That doesn't work, does it?
It does. Because she's
J-Lo.
And he's Ben.
He's B-Lo. All right. Well, enough celebrity news. We're going to take a break. When we come back, our very own celebrity Bill Duran will be joining us. And he's got a little surprise up his sleeve. I don't know how this is going to go.
Really?
But
he's going to unmake something is what he's planning on doing.
Possibly.
Oh, did I spoil the surprise?
He's
destroy.
No, it might be a way of saying it. I don't think it's exactly what people will take from your statement, but it's close. We'll
oh,
see.
Really? Okay. I was just.
Yeah, you were just winging it, but it's kind of true, weirdly. Anyway, so that'll come up then, and then Bobby after that. So stick around. We need a song right now, though. So what do you have?
Yeah. Oh, how about some peace and love music from Austin? This is a band called Golden Dawn Orchestra. They spell it with an ARK at the beginning, orchestra, instead of orchestra.
Wow.
They've got their album coming out. It's called The Gold Album, August 12th, digitally, but also on limited edition 180-gram vinyl, which ought to be really cool. This is going to be released in partnership with Spaceflight Records, Eye in the Sky, and Terror Bird Media. This first song is great. It's called Golden Limousine. Here is the Golden Dawn Orchestra.
I was walking down by the disco when I saw you standing right there. We were talking, bodies rocking. Ooh, baby, it ain't there.
Come, let's ride. Let's get astrophysical. Step inside. Pull the limousine. Come, let's ride. Let's get astrophysical. have a planer. The blade is very thin. Be careful when you use it or you'll plane off all your skin.
What does katana mean?
It means Japanese sword.
They are all that is man. This is the Morning Stream.
And we've returned. Hey, tell me about that band whose name sounds like the way my dad would pronounce it.
Sure, it's the Golden Dawn Orchestra.
Yeah.
The brand new album is called The Gold Album, comes out in the middle of August, but that is the first song. It's called Golden Limousine. Enjoy it, and in anticipation of the new album.
Nice. It's interesting spelling. Wonder why they did that. There's probably some story, you know?
I think it's like a foreign spelling, like a German.
Oh.
Because I've seen other orchestras.
Oh, interesting.
Certainly with a K. I don't know about with an A, but...
Every day, learn something new here on the show. That's what we do.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Check it out, everybody. Bill Duran joining us all the way from beautiful the Seattle surrounding area. And he's joining us. I don't know if it's beautiful. It's probably really hot there, too, like everywhere else right now. Are you having a heat wave, Bill? What's going on?
It's been actually quite pleasant the last few days.
Really? That's good. Yeah. Yeah, we had a pleasant couple of days. I mean, if you count 90-plus as pleasant. But it's normal for our summers. But everybody else, man. London, 104 today. Highest on record.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh. Never had a higher thing. I think that's what? That's over 40 Celsius, I think. Something like that. Anyway, I don't know how those people are doing it. How y'all doing it? Claire says she's sweating her beeps off, which is...
sure she is. Yeah.
That's Irish for breasts, I believe. Anyway, Bill, it's good to have you back. I'm always happy to be talking to you. And honestly, I have no idea what today's going to be like, although I have a hint because of some stuff you sent me. So how do you want to proceed here? You tell me.
Well, today I want to talk about making music.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. That's a different thing.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Definitely counts as making, though.
Yeah.
Making something from nothing.
That's true.
I wanted to bring it up. We talked about this a few weeks ago, and I let fly. I believe that I had some recordings of me singing in a band from the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I've been into music my whole life. In first grade, I took piano lessons. They didn't really stick, but, you know, I got started. And then in elementary school, I was in the chorus. But there was also a select chorus called the Children's Choir. I was in that, too.
Oh.
So before puberty hit, I could sing.
Yeah.
But everything changed in seventh grade. In college, I got a guitar. And both my twin brother and I got guitars. And we used to play at open mic nights in our little town of Oswego, New York. We would play, like, Green Day and Goldfinger covers, which was a good time.
Sure.
Nice.
And then when I was in college, or just after college, actually, a bunch of buddies from college and I had a band. Mm. And we played a couple of shows in Oneonta, New York.
What was the name of the band, by the way? Just curious.
The band was called The Joystick Generation.
Okay.
And the slogan was, we change our band members just like we change our underwear every couple of months. Because it was, nice. People came and go, would come and go frequently. It was a college band, so if someone would graduate, then they needed to fill that spot.
Sure.
And that's how I got in. They needed someone who could both play the guitar and sing, and I could kind of do both. So I was suddenly the front man for this band.
Wow.
We played at our college in the gymnasium. We played at a couple bars in town, and we played on 5505. That's right. We played at Smokey Joe's in Oneonta, New York.
Whoa,
and
Smokey
we
Joe's.
We recorded it.
Nice. Oh, wait,
that's where these came from? That's where the recording happened, was the Smokey Joe's? Okay.
This was recorded off of a Hi8 video camera, and I ripped the audio out at some point.
Okay, sweet. So we're looking at top quality studio recordings here.
Oh, yeah. And I want to point out, too, that we were paid in beer, and we were paid ahead of time, which was probably a mistake. It took a couple hours to set up, and we were drinking the whole time.
Oh, no.
All so right. how did those negotiations go? It's like, how do you guys like to get paid? Beer? Okay, when do you want it? Up front? Okay,
now.
Cool. Yeah.
Wow.
And about the monitor, half up front and half performing.
The monitor wasn't working, so none of us could hear ourselves. So everything went a little bit off the rails, but let me tell you, it was a really, really fun time. So I sent the songs to Scott.
Okay.
Maybe nice. Maybe Beer is a good song to play, but it's also, by the way, we mostly played Real Big Fish covers, so it's a lot of ska.
Is the one called Bob About You somehow?
No, okay. That's a NoFX song.
Okay. Just was curious. I don't know why I thought that, because Bill and Bob are nothing alike. All right, here we go. Let's play Beer. This is called Beer. It's track number 10 from Joystick Generation. We'll just hear a little bit of this and see what we think. Work in the crowd. This is great. Do crowd work. I love it. Okay, here it comes.
Oh, yeah.
Are you still warming up?
Probably. It's our second to last song. We're still warming up.
Yeah.
You might want to jump forward a hair.
That's it.
Yeah. For a song we might know. But probably not.
Here it comes.
50% chance, people. Okay. You start this one, Bill.
Is that you on guitar?
Sure is.
Very ska, very cool.
Oh, yeah. Which one of you was responsible for picking it up?
Yeah.
Oh, everyone has to, a little
everyone
bit.
Everyone had to pick it up?
Yeah. Oh, here he is singing. Dude, that's awesome, dude.
I love it.
Yeah, right?
I love it. Look at you guys. And was it, I mean, I assume this was a very joyful, good time back then.
Yeah, we had a ton of fun.
Yeah. It seemed, oh, listen to this
chorus.
Barely
knew what was going on.
Singing about beer. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, I was probably 23 at the time. 22, 23.
Yeah.
And it was just super, super fun. I remember being completely, well, I was a little drunk, but I remember just being completely on cloud nine in front of a crowd. There's like 20 people there. Brittany filmed this.
Yeah. And as you've still got, did you convert those too as well? So you got digital versions of the video?
I don't know if I have the video. I've looked and I don't think I had the video anymore.
Is those Super 8s corrode, man. They go to the grave, those things.
Yep.
That's unfortunate. So, well, that's awesome. Love
my
it.
My hope is that what people take away from this is, like, I'm there are things I'm good at. Making music is not really one of them. I'm okay.
Yeah.
But I'm not great. But it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things to do if I'm in the car by myself is just to turn the music on real loud and sing as loud as I can. Again, it doesn't matter if anyone hears me, and it doesn't matter if it's good. It makes me feel great.
So there's a real there's a catharsis to that, right? Like just letting it rip and blaring your favorite song. We did a bunch of this driving this weekend with Kim has a new playlist just full of old 80s songs, and stuff would come on like Prince's Let's Get Nuts or Let's Get Crazy or whatever the song is. I don't know what the title is.
Let's Go Crazy.
Let's Go Crazy, yeah. That thing comes on, there's no stopping me. I'm going to ruin everyone's day in that car. I'll freaking
You know what song gets me going? Mm. Don't Stop Me Now.
Oh, man.
Oh, nice. By Queen, yeah. Sure.
In fact, there's a Vandals cover that's really, really good, too.
I'll bet Brian has that cover.
I have that one.
Tell me about this one called Chick Magnet real quick. What's the deal there?
Oh, that's an MXPX song.
Oh, so this, okay.
Put that if you want.
Let me just hear a little taste.
Yeah.
I'll skip ahead a little. So that's not you singing.
No, that's the bass player, Nick, who is actually still playing music. His name is Nick Hongs. He's in a band called Gimme Gimme that is a tribute band to the world's greatest cover band, Me First and the Gimme Gimmes.
Oh, Brian loves that.
So he's still doing it. He's still living the dream.
That's great.
Yeah, that band is like an amalgamation of a few different punk and ska bands.
But you've always raved about them, right? They're always doing
great.
Great.
They figured out their formula and they stuck to it. And I don't care if everything they do is that formula. They have figured out, they perfected that formula. I'll listen to it every album they put out.
Mm.
And I feel like the whole gist of the Me First and the Gimme Gimmes is they're all in their own bands, and they formed this other band to play covers so that they wouldn't really have to try very hard.
Right.
That's what it kind of feels like.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
So
they
haven't
put out anything in a while, too. It's been a couple of years.
It's been a bit. Yeah, pandemic, man. They got everybody. This version of Brandy, is this the song I think it is?
The Looking Glass
Yes. Yeah. It's probably also the song that we practice the least.
Oh. Well, this is perfect then. Let me see if I can get to a part here and play it. Here we go.
You need backup. Wasn't everybody else doing the backups?
I don't know. I don't know if that's me singing either. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Because the lead singer is supposed to go, "You're a fine," and then the backing vocalist goes, "Such a fine girl."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's how that's supposed to go.
Sorry, I'll let my bandmates know that they messed up.
They let me down is what it was. Yeah, they let you down, and in doing so, they let me down.
Yeah, we're all let down a little bit from that. that's awesome.
Music is a hobby I think anyone can enjoy, and I recommend anyone try any instrument or singing. And especially if you're in college age, join a band, even if you suck, and even if it's for a little bit, because it's super fun.
Yeah, like what a great memory, and what a, you know, none of you were trying to be the next freaking, you know, U2 or anything. You were just having fun and doing a thing, and who knew where it would take you, but who cares, because you're at this stage of your life where it's perfect for that kind of stuff. I agree. I never did this. I never sang in a band or played in a band, but I always wanted to. I just didn't think I had any of the chops. And so I kind of have, if I had any regrets about that, it'd be like, I never just went for it and said, yeah, you guys, he plays a guitar. You guys have a keyboard. I can sing bad. Let's go.
Right? Yeah. Right. Get yourself a tambourine. You can keep rhythm.
Yeah. Sure.
That's never too late to learn an instrument either. I mean, you know, you think that, oh, I'm too old to like learn guitar and that sort of thing. No, I mean, you could pick up guitar or ukulele is a good, easy one to start with.
And, yeah, everyone loves a good ukulele guy in his 50s who plays that.
Who doesn't?
And a ska band.
I don't want to meet the person that doesn't.
I gotta say, a ska band could always use another member too.
Yeah, they all look.
They can use their 17 horn.
Exactly.
Player.
If they've only got 9, they're maybe like halfway to what they need to be. Right.
I keep hearing that ska's on its way back. It's clawing its way back up to prominence. Is that true?
Good.
I don't know.
I have anything to do with it. Yeah.
which wave are we up to?
Hard to say, but it feels like there's like a little bit of a resurgence, or at least interest in old ska music. I don't know if there's new bands or not, but that's never a bad thing. Ska was great.
Mm-hmm.
Is great.
Not at all.
There was no was. It didn't die.
Is great.
Yeah, it lives. It lives today. Well, this is fantastic, Bill. I love seeing under the hood here a little bit on your life. When you're not making things, he's making everybody dance in a bar at 2 a.m. Any ancillary bonus content for us today?
Sure. I got a video here from a channel called RC Life On. He does a lot of radio-controlled vehicle type of things. Mm. He's making an underwater drone. It's like a submarine, but it's using drone parts to basically fly a drone underwater. And I think that's cool.
Oh, he printed the housing. That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look at that. Brian, you got to make one of these. Look at that.
I know. Well, there's not... I mean, obviously, I've got lakes and rivers and stuff near me, but... not a lot of stuff that I feel would be interesting for a 3D printed underwater drone.
Well, don't go chasing waterfalls though. Just stick with the lakes and the rivers you're used to.
We'll do. I will. Thank you for that advice.
That's really cool. Now this reminds me of a quick story. While I was out of town and we were in Midway, which has again all these prehistoric volcanic holes full of full of like natural underground water stuff. I watched a little kid with an RC truck, like one of the little four wheel ones. Well, they all have four wheels, but four-wheel drive ones. And he's ripping around and doing this stuff, and his dad's watching all proudly. And then the kid drove one right into the hole, and that was it. That there's no way they're getting that thing out. Because it's like a 20-feet drop or something in this one. I'm like, why was he doing it? And I saw the dad go, no. It was a sad moment for RC fans everywhere. I know. I would be so pissed.
Oh, it was.
We just kept
And you just have the controller.
Yeah.
What do you do with that thing?
Yeah,
right?
What are you going to
throw it away, but
you can't repurpose it. I guess you could maybe find someone on eBay.
Probably, if you got another one of those, you could probably reprogram it, but
yeah, or
it's going to come with one anyway, so what's the point?
Yeah, if eBay has somebody who's selling just the car because they lost the controller, then you're in luck.
Right, yeah. There you go.
Stranger things have happened. Bill Duran, it is always good to have you on. Punishprops.com is the place to go check out all his fine work. He'll be back here next Tuesday, like always. Bill, have a fantastic week.
See ya.
See you next time. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
But. Well, all right then. So Jerry's been in your, in London. I wonder if he's there in the heat. Wonder if that's
yeah,
a
I know.
Thing.
Wasn't he? Is he? He went to Amsterdam. I know. Is he going to London on this trip too?
Yeah, I think he started there. So maybe they missed the heat by starting there and then going to other stuff. But when he texted me, he was in London and sent me a picture of a. They had a. This was so weird. They were in some historical part of London.
Historical
didn't mm-hmm. sound right for some reason.
Hysterical
was so funny. Anyway, it was this Harry Potter museum performancey thing. I don't know what it was. They were doing something at a big venue, and then right across the street, they were eating at a Wingstop, which I think is great. I think that's freaking funny. Great. Yeah, I love that. All right, Bobby incoming. Prepare yourselves for all what right, that
I'm ready.
Means.
I'm ready.
I don't know what he's prepared to do today, but I know it'll be exciting. So sit back and relax as I play his intro.
Science.
Hey, it's science time with Bobby Frankenberger, who for some reason is not wearing his glasses, and that is freaking me the F out. What's going on?
Yeah.
I'm wiping them. I'm cleaning them.
Oh, you should always wipe, but do front to back. Always. Always front to back. Bobby, it's good to have you here, man. I feel like, I don't know why, I feel like I haven't talked to Bobby in a freaking age, but I guess it's only been a week, so... I don't know why I feel that way.
For the first part of the year, we talked very frequently because of ANTP. I think we're just coming off of that.
Yeah.
It's all the, it's the lull ever since.
We were overwhelmed with Bobby at that point, but now.
Oh, so much Bobby.
Now it's just a special weekly event. Anyway, Bobby comes on the show as the host of All Around Science and talks about some kind of scientific story or another. And I have no idea what you're going to talk about today. So fill us in. What do you got?
Well, I've got two things. We can either pick one or we can do both of them. I'm pulling a Tom Merritt. Doesn't Tom do this all the time?
He does it all. He usually gives us a choice. He usually gives us a choice and then just does the one, but then sometimes sneaks in a little about the other. You're welcome to do whatever you feel. Yeah.
So we've got a giant raft of space bubbles being thought to block the sun, or shape-shifting microbots to brush and floss your teeth.
Okay, hold on now. I can't resist either of these, but I have a question about first one. Is it our bubble thing, or did we discover someone else is floating around?
Well, why don't I just tell you?
Why don't you just tell us about the space bubbles? All right.
So the idea here is a group of MIT scientists that are they're exploring ways to help with... You know, the troubles we're having with climate change and global warming. And so they're exploring a bubble-based solar shield concept that would reduce incoming radiation from the sun. It's meant to supplement current strategies, but the idea is to construct a raft of basically... If you see the images of these, it just looks like a sheet of bubble wrap.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And you would put a giant one out in space... to block some of the sun's radiation as it was coming to the Earth, to kind of like half shade. So it's not as intense, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea here.
Okay, now let me ask you this. I just thought of something.
Yeah?
This could be finally a way for us to get proof of God. And here's how.
Oh, can it?
Yeah, this is how. This is how you do it. I'm pretty sure I've got the answer.
Okay. All right.
You put giant bubble wrap in the sky...
Yeah,
everyone knows that not even deities can resist
not
the
even
temptation.
God can resist
they the can't popping. Resist the temptation. So you're going to see two gigantic hairy knuckle hands come out of nowhere and go, what's this? Pop, 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 pop. That's how that's going to go. Yep. And it'll hear this. You hear this in space. Here, let me get some. Here we go. Oh, come on, pop it. Oh, I picked an ASMR channel. Those guys just tickle everything. Here we go. This is the one we wanted.
I'm going to start popping the bubbles now.
Here you go. Yeah. Keep going. Come on. These are lame. Oh, these are so lame. All right. YouTube, you've let me down. Anyway, the point is.
Well, if this is the plan, then I think that's a poor plan because, as we all know, in space, no one can hear you pop bubbles.
Damn it. We're never going to see it. But now we got that microscope that we can see right down to God's nose hair. So I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. So this will basically be in like a geosynchronous orbit with Earth.
Look at the brains on Brian.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, yes, I mean, you can't just plop it in the middle, like right between Venus and us, and hope that it's going to stay.
So not geosynchronous. I believe that
It moves with the Earth's rotation, like a geo. Right.
Maybe it like solo synchronous. It would though.
Yeah.
It's at what's called they would have to put it in suspended at what's called a Lagrangian point. We've talked about these before. Mm-hmm. They're gravitational points between two massive objects.
Yeah. I was gonna say that's where ZZ Top hangs out is the Lagrangian point. Yeah.
That's where that brothel is.
And they're key gravitational points between two massive objects that where the gravitational forces cancel out and things can remain stable there. And this would be at the L1 Lagrangian point between Earth and the Sun, and that's like a space that's sort of basically directly between the Earth and the Sun, where the force of Earth's gravity is canceled out by the force of the Sun's gravity, and you put something there and it'll stay there stably.
Gotcha.
This bubble wrap thing would have to be the size of Brazil. It would be up there for like 50 to 200 years, and it would block. It would decrease the sunlight by 1.8%, which is what they calculate would need to be done to sort of offset some of the effects of
to cool things a little bit.
To cool things off, yeah.
Okay, before you go further, so it's going to be the size, like having it the size of Brazil, and in the place that they're having it put, the distance from Earth,
yeah,
it's going to be enough to block all of Earth.
Yeah, it can't
from
be.
Distance
so
it is,
the
right?
idea is not to put Earth into a constant state of eclipse.
Oh, okay, all right.
The idea is to because it's these are going to be semi-transparent bubbles.
Yeah.
So some of the light will get through, some of it will be reflected. Sure. They've specifically chosen some sort of molten silicone to make the bubbles out of, because it will allow a wide range of wavelengths of light to get through. It's just to just sort of put like a, you know, like a
filter,
like
it's
a
like
lens
we're
filter.
Yeah,
put
yeah.
It over.
I mean, if it's not going to block, right, so like, you know, when you put your hand in front of a light bulb and you cast a shadow on the wall, right, and you've got that shape. Obviously, it's way bigger than your hand because your hand is closer to the light source. Well, gee, Mr. Wizard, thanks for mansplaining shadows to us. If it's not big enough to filter, I won't say block, filter the whole Earth,
yeah, I see what
then
you're saying.
What's the point of having it just focused on a specific area? Or is it doing polar ice caps? Is it doing a specific problem?
It's just for white people.
The ozone...
we're only worried about white people because not because
it's
we don't like it, but
white
we don't,
people countries.
It's just that we don't. You know, it's not that we don't love everyone. It's that we're all gonna burn up and die first. So cover us.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
the most vulnerable,
the richest
it'll block...
countries, the most rich.
Yeah,
it'll block Ireland, Norway, all of the places where we're most susceptible to sun damage.
Yeah, everybody up in the Scandinavian countries are first in line here.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I see what you're saying, Brian. I think it must be that size is enough to that the filtered area would cover the Earth. I think you're right about that.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. If that's Brazil-sized and be that, depending on, you know, however.
It feels like polarization. Is this polarization, kind of? Like
well,
you do with
no,
sunglasses?
Polarization's something else entirely. Well, it's not something else entirely, but it's doing something else. It's filtering out light, but maybe in a different way. Like,
okay.
You know how polarization is filtering out light that is essentially, this is not exactly right. Don't email me, physicists. but it's filtering out light that is vibrating in a certain direction,
right?
So that it
it's the UV rays you're trying to not get into your corneas and your retinas.
Sure.
Yeah.
So this would be one of the benefits of doing this raft. Yeah. Would be that it could be constructed in place. Like this is an adaptation of based on an idea of that was like thought of a while ago about sending a swarm of small spacecraft to deploy a bunch of small shields, but you would have to build all of those spacecraft.
Yeah.
So this, right. You could presumably send up much fewer and they would just blow little bubbles. Yeah.
So what's the warranty on this thing? Is it going to last a long time? Like,
well, it says it would have to last 500 to two, somewhere between 50 and 200 years to help do what it needs to do.
Well, that covers us. We're good.
What'd you say?
I said that covers us. We're all good with everybody on the show right now. We're all good.
That's what scientists, that's what you always see with these disaster level technologies is they're like, yeah, we just need it to last for how much longer do I have?
50
years. 50 years.
Right.
So the significance of this, though, even though we were talking tiny percentages, which is really all we're talking about with all of issues regarding global warming or, you know, climate change is these tiny increments. Is 1.8% enough? I guess it is if they've studied it.
They've calculated that if any sort of what they call solar geoengineering project, because there are other ideas that people have come up with, like putting dissolved gases in the stratosphere that would reflect light and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Any solar geoengineering project that would reduce the amount of light hitting the Earth would need to be somewhere between, I think it was like 1.3 and 1.8%. Yeah. To have the impact that we need.
Who's funding this? Do we know who's doing this?
Nobody's funding it yet. This is like a feasibility a
proposal
study that MIT is making. So I don't even think they know how much this would cost at this point. Then it feels like a last resort kind of thing.
Yeah, we're bouncing all of those harmful rays back out to some other planet and destroying an entire race.
Oh, man. I'm not caught up on the Orville, but that's a perfect episode of the Orville.
I guess we just phoenixed those guys. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, well. Sorry. Phoenixed them.
Dark phoenix those guys.
That's a great way of saying burn people up.
We just dark phoenix the broccoli people.
You've been phoenixed. That's horrible.
Yeah. One of the things I like about, they said it needs to be reversible, right? So it can't just have to be there forever. They need to be able to get rid of it. And I love the language that they used about how this could be reversible. They said, this is a quote, it said, it would need to be intentionally destroyed by breaking their surface equilibrium. And that's like such a science way of just saying they need to be able to be popped.
Yeah. Just gotta pop them.
Yeah. So they really are bubbles. Like if you looked at this thing, at least in its proposed form, it's bubbles. Like
it looks like a sheet of bubble wrap, doesn't it?
Wild. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, I hope that works. That'd be great.
Yeah.
You know, and quick. Like, you can't spend the next 10 years building it. You got to build it now. Like, go.
Yeah, well, that's what's going to happen. Just let's be honest. They're just going to be like, all right, we figured it out. And then they'll come out of their, you know, basement office and then look around and everything will be a smoldering ruin.
Yeah, that very well could happen at the rate we're going. It seems like the stuff's accelerating. Not trying to be alarmist or anything, but I saw a really interesting piece of visual data today that was a way of seeing climate change that I've never seen before, which was this top-down view of the percentage Celsius that we need to be in, like the ring of everything's fine. And inside of there, there's like this, every year is represented by a almost like a handwritten scribble line that represents how that year did. And if it goes out toward the line a little or down toward the cold a little, it's, you know, you could see it do it. And it's just like this. And they start in the 1800s when they first have any tracking data for this. And they keep going and going and going all the way up to 1930 something. And it stayed in the ring. 1940. When did we drop the bomb? Whatever that was.
45, I think.
45. Yeah, 45.
Yeah.
That's the year this line makes a freaking hairy jump. It goes, and like way out here, and then it comes back in, and then we're okay for a bit. Then we're good right up to the 1980s, my favorite decade, or so I thought. And it starts to go, we're going out, we're going outside. And then by the time we're here, it's this nightmare of we're way outside this. What are we doing? So then they take the whole thing, which has been this top-down 2D view, and they rotate it, and it's 3D. And time is represented by depth. And,
I see.
And the shape of it is now, it's basically a bar graph on its side. So now you got the line down here going out, and it shows how quickly it funnels from the 80s till today. And to this red zone, it's really striking, that animation. Yeah. I wish I had it so I could show it and not have to explain it, but really something.
It's cool to be able to visualize data like that because it helps to tell the story of what's going on, right?
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of that sort of stuff.
So. Data visualization.
Yeah, even when it's like super nightmare-y and terrible. Yeah. Anyway, so I'll try to find that and share it with the chat if I can dig it up. Here it is. You know what? I'll share it now because I'm a sharing kind of person. This is a
sharing
tweet.
Is caring.
Sharing is caring. It's also scaring a little bit. Okay, here we go. Chat room, here's your link. Oh, someone probably already found it. Ethan, Kane, did you find it? I think Amos found it. Okay, I'm sending this to you guys as well on the Discord just so you can see it. Okay. It's really something. Right. I kind of have never seen data represented this way before, and that's partly why I like it. I don't know. It just seems neat. Anyways, all right. Well, there's that. Now you got to give us just a taste of the other thing. What was the other thing?
Oh, shape-shifting microbots to brush and floss your teeth. Yeah. So.
I'm ready for this now. When do we get this? When do I get my own?
It's a proof of concept study from Penn State, their School of Dental Medicine, teamed up with the School of Engineering and Applied Science, and they're showing they've come up with a proof of concept for a hands-free system involving self-assembling shape-shifting nanobot swarms that could effectively automate brushing and flossing your teeth.
Oh my gosh! Can I have it now? Can I get it?
I don't. Are you kidding? Maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you guys shouldn't be so eager. Like,
I'll beta test this.
I'll do it. Why not?
What could go wrong? Robots in my mouth. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like. You ever get the feeling that people are just using technology to try and solve problems that don't need to be solved?
Well, do they do a substantially better job with the cleaning is the question. And if they don't,
Not yet. Right. But this is early on. I don't know.
Is Wesley Crusher involved?
Then forget it. Because he almost killed everybody. That guy.
They're using the line that I hear all the time that really kind of like makes me roll my eyes, which is the design of the toothbrush has remained relatively unchanged for millennia.
It's like the Dyson commercial, right? Yeah. Like, changed the vacuum in forever. I changed it.
Oh, this is interesting.
Some things I don't think need to be changed. Like that's like me saying like the design of the basic chair has not been changed for millennia. Does it need to be?
No.
Like, right. It kind of does the job, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes stuff just works.
We reinvented the wheel.
Yeah.
The wheel hasn't changed, and it still isn't.
It's now a square.
It's a square. Inefficient and terrible. Anyway, yeah. I think nanotech is so super fascinating, so I'm always perked when I hear about it.
The real quick explanation of how this works is it's basically iron oxide nanoparticles that can be controlled with magnetic fields to be a toothbrush sometimes be floss, and you just put it in your mouth, and it moves around for you, scrubs your teeth, and flosses your teeth, and also the nanoparticles themselves sort of have catalytic reactions that create hydrogen peroxide, which is essentially the active ingredient in most toothpaste, right?
Yeah.
And so they did test it on... model teeth and animal teeth and stuff like this.
Test it on Steve Buscemi, then get back to me. Then let me know.
Oh, geez.
I mean,
give him a workout.
Yeah, no shade, but you know, whatever. No, so what's to stop these things from working right down
Kirsten
my throat or whatever?
Dunst. Try it on Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah, Kirsten Dunst, exactly. And maybe when Fat Damon kisses her, he can get a taste. He can get a bit. But anyway, what was I going to say? I forgot. Oh. How do you stop it from going like into your brain or into your bloodstream or down your throat or into your guts or whatever?
Well, I assume you just don't set the magnet to impale your brain mode.
So that's the trick, right? These guys, you have to rely on this stuff like you do anything. Like, what's stopping my Oral-B electric toothbrush from just freaking out one day and, you know, jamming up through my
exactly, because they did program it that way at the factory. They've got their hands on the kill switch. So think about that every time you brush your teeth with Sonicare.
Yeah. But what if you have a plate in your head? Will all these little nanites just go schlink up to the thing and stay there? You know?
I don't know that they've thought about that. Hopefully they will.
I'm like that dumb politician where the lady was explaining to him how you can take a pill that has a camera in it. It will basically do a colonoscopy style exploration for you, and then you look at the data later, which is true. They exist. And the guy raises his hand and goes, "Could this also be done with a pregnant mother? Could she take the pill and have it?"
Right.
Like, no, those are two different systems. You know, you'd have to go up through the vajay, you dumbass. It doesn't go through your stomach. Where do you think the baby gestates? In your freaking stomach next to the beer you just drank, you idiot?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So maybe this will all have nano toothbrushes eventually. But
yeah, not yet though.
Not yet.
What do you think comes sooner, bubble wrap in space or the nanobot face? Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Nano teeth, probably, because the bubble wrap in space is just a drawing on a whiteboard right now, right?
Yeah. And the nanobots it could make money, right? So look where the profit is. And
yeah. Also, there aren't a bunch of politicians trying to prevent the nanobots because they want to deny global warming, you know?
Yeah. And for real quick, chat room, somebody wants to try to say maybe this politician was just trying to say this. He says, I could see them meaning, is it safe for pregnant women? That's not what he said. He said, could they take this pill and go down and check on the baby with it? That's what he said. Could they swallow it and have it go down? So I just want to punch that guy, elbow him in the gut, and then a knee right to the friendlies.
Wow. Jeez.
Annoyed the hell out of me. People like that are on board, are on like committees to try to figure out reproductive health. Freaking get off the committee. What are you doing? Have some basic idea. I know enough to know that you can't take a colon pill and have it meet the baby in the middle somewhere. It doesn't work. All right. Sorry, Bobby, you had to hear that. It's good to have you here, as always. People should check out your show, All Around Science. It happens on the weekly. What are you guys talking about on this next one, or the one that's coming out?
Yeah, All Around Science, our weekly science podcast. This past week, we talked about, the main feature was all about quantum particles, the Large Hadron Collider, the LHC, you know, the big underground loop that smashes particles together over
Switzerland
and France.
Yep.
That's been in the news a little bit lately. Some new particles were discovered, and I thought, what a great time to talk about what these particles even are and how the LHC works. So we talked about that, why you have to smash things together and how the LHC even manages to accelerate protons to 99.999991%. The speed of light.
Whoa.
So very close to the speed of light.
Yeah, we don't want to. It's one of those cases where you don't want to average it up or, you know, round up, do you? Because it's so specific about a thing you're doing.
Yeah. Well, because from Einstein's theories, nothing can go the speed of light. Nothing with mass.
No.
Get to the speed of light. So it feels like as you get really, really close, yes, you want to brag that you're as close as you can get.
Yeah.
We talk about that on the show. Check it out. All Around Science. We're there every week. So subscribe.
Yeah. Get it where you get your podcasts, everybody. It's Bobby Frankenberger. What's your Twitter account? I always want people to follow you there, but I always forget.
At GM Funky Town.
GM Funky Town.
My personal one.
Look, if you can't take science seriously from a guy named GM Funky Town, who can you? Okay?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Bobby, it's always good having you on. Have a fantastic rest of your week, and we'll see you next time. Bye now.
See you, Bobby.
GM Funky Town. That's funny. Where do you get your really good science from?
With GM Funky Town. Oh, that sounds reputable. Thanks. I'll just go back to Facebook.
Freaking love it. All right. Let's see here. That's it for the show. Couple of reminders, though. We got Play Retro tomorrow, not today, and DTNS today, not tomorrow, for me, if you watch DTNS. So it's all flipped, okay? So if there's any confusion for anyone who...
Could you diagram all that for me? Can you give me a flow chart, please?
Yeah, if you want to flow, I could do you some visual data on what's going on. Is there anything else happening from the Coverville side of things today, this week?
Not till Thursday, but Thursday will be a regular Coverville, of course. And then Friday is the return of Guess the Connection. We're going to do it before the couch party because that's what people wanted. So we're going to go in. We're going to give away a prize.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go in and have some fun with TMS Couch Party.
That's a brilliant idea. We'll let you know what that's going to be.
Maybe Loki this week. I'm really excited if we do Loki.
We should do Loki two episodes of Loki. I think we just we're doing it.
Let's see. Loki episodes length. Oh, somebody already looked up this question. Runtime of each Loki episode. Loki.
Loki. It's probably 40 minutes Loki. Or something. Right?
Somebody... Oh my God, Reddit. Just give me the answer I want, please.
It'll be about the same time we spent with the full movie last week.
I think I think the first episode is probably an hour. Oh, here we go. Episode 143 minutes, episode 242 minutes. We can do two episodes.
Easy peasy. Yep, it'll be just like when they launched the series. They did two episodes that night. It'll be like that. I don't know if they did, but a lot of people did. All right, so that'll be that. Also, I hear you, those out there saying, well, wait, us audio-only people got jack squat out of this change. I hear you. And because of that, I have a couple of ideas. I'm working them out, all right? I'm trying to... We're not here to screw you. We're here to just do new fun things. And we really had a good time. The biggest problem I have right now is I think the room has a soft limit of 100 people or something. Mm-hmm. And I want to figure out a way to make that bigger. So there may be a Zoom thing involved. I don't know. We're working it out.
All right.
In the meantime, what else? Oh, quickly here. Speaking of Patreon, patreon.com/TMS is where you can support the show. And man, we had a bunch of people sign up since last we spoke. For example,
awesome.
Adam of Geekheim. Love that name. Scott Allred, not related to any of the local Allreds that I know.
A lot of Allreds.
Many Allreds. Ross George, which is two first names. That's cool. Okay. Nicholas Hedborg.
Hedborg.
Hedborg. I am Hedborg. Galen Peru. And somebody named M.
Ooh, well, they took a break from Bond, from managing Bond, and now they're listening to... TMS Patreon.
Favorite M's got to be Judi Dench, right? She's my favorite.
It's got to be Judi.
I like them all, but I really like her.
Oh, right, because what's his face? Ray Fiennes is now...
And he's quite good.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he's very good.
He's pretty good. I think Judi Dench, yeah.
Yeah, I'd take Dame Judi Dench
You're
all day,
a
every
dinosaur,
day.
Dinosaur, James.
She is an awesome lady, and I would take her orders any day. That sounds weird. All right. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Send us your emails at themorningstream@gmail.com, and we'll get to those on the show as well. That'll do it for us. Hey, Brian, you probably wrote a song. Why don't you play it?
Well, all right. This one, all right. So, I'm going to just tell you right now.
Go.
If you are offended by language, you probably want to stop listening when I'm done announcing this song, because
like Spanish, not German, only an F-bomb, like swears,
that language, right. There is an F-bomb, just not even just one little appearance on the song. It's in the title. It's in the chorus. It's not the CeeLo Green song, but I just want to get you set up with that. Audrey Baker wrote in, said, "My dad is a patron, and we listen to your podcast every day on the way to school. Keep making people laugh."
Okay.
And Audrey wanted to hear Hell and Back by Self-Deception. Now, that's an original, and I can't do originals. I can only do covers. There are no covers of that song. As a matter of fact, Self-Deception, as far as I could tell, has not been covered, and they've only ever done one cover song.
Oh.
It's this one right here. It's a cover of a song by Pink. It's Effin' Perfect. I want to say it's a song that it's one of her fight women's anthem kind of songs, not fight women's anthems,
no,
but fight comma women's anthem. Women's
thank you.
Anthem
thank songs. You for that clarification.
You're glad I clarified I got an email. So this is Effing Perfect. It is by Self-Deception. It's a single that they released a few years back. Here is Self-Deception and Effing Perfect.
Made a wrong turn once or twice, dug my way out, blood and fire. Bad decisions, that's alright. Welcome to my silly life. Mistreated, misplaced, misunderstood. Mr. No Way, it's all good.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Bye-bye.
Oh.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.